is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, November 6, 2021. And, boy, a lot of stars out tonight. This morning when I walked out, it's still pretty dark. Have the time changes tonight. Want to remind everybody of that. Or first thing in the morning, we fall back if you change your clocks to kind of keep up with everybody else. But that's coming up. But, Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you too, sir.
Good morning.
And we say again, good morning to you, the Remnant. And we thank you for joining us. We hope you have your coffee. We have ours. We hope you have your Bible. We have ours with us. And we hope you have yours. And we look forward to a time of fellowship and maybe talking about current events and just what's on your mind. And we'll do that. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer. We encourage you to do that as well in all that you do. And Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you be with your people across this land, that you tend to their needs, and that you continue to wake up America. Wake up your people, Father, to who they are and what they are. And Father, we pray that they just cry out to you and ask for you to save them. We pray, Father, that you deliver your people from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. Lord, we put our trust in you, and we thank you for being an awesome God. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning. If you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. Again, 307-745-5913 if you have a question or a comment. And I guess I'll start out, you know, with kind of the biggie in the country yesterday. The government passed their $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. It was going right along party lines until I think there were about 11 Republicans that voted for it. And, oh well, that's just how it is. I think it just, that further proves the, what Pastor used to talk about, there not being a dime's worth of difference between most of the Democrats and Republicans. And I think that, for the most part, I think that holds true. And but anyway, $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. And I saw this little piece on it, and that basically about 10%, about $110 billion of this infrastructure bill. Now, when you think infrastructure, you think, you know, great, our bridges are going to get fixed. The roads that when you drive down them, they just beat you to death, that are just horrible. That those things are going to get fixed. But only about 10% of this infrastructure bill is even planned on going toward roads, bridges, and major projects like that the American people, the way you and I think of infrastructure, would be about 10%. And the rest of it, Green New Deal provisions. Now, if that doesn't just make you warm and fuzzy inside, I don't know what does. Some of the things are wanting to expand Amtrak, the money loser from the very beginning, but to expand Amtrak to help replace air travel in the United States. sounds like a pie in the sky plan to me. But anyway, it just another part of this infrastructure bill that was passed is that it's going to fix the racism that's in our highways. Okay, this is a quote. This fixes racism in the highways. Part of the $110 billion earmarked for rebuilding roads and bridges is dedicated to fixing the quote. This is a quote. The racism physically built into some of our highways, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg described. And he's a flaming faggot. And but that's what our tax dollars are going for. We're going to fix the racism in the highways. Now, guys, you tell me, am I crazy or is this crazy? Which one is it?
It's kind of up in the air at the moment. I'll think about it.
I guess. Anyway. The infrastructure bill, 2,700 pages, and if you can read 55 pages an hour, you'd have to spend 49 hours reading this bill. Do you think anybody's read it? You think anybody that voted on it has read it? No. They've got their little pieces in it. Isn't that how that works anymore?
Yep. Yeah, that's the way it is, and that's the way it has been. I mean, these bills that they introduce that have been introduced over the years are just absolutely, insanity.
They are. It's the crazies running the insane asylum, is what it is. So anyway, just, that was kind of one of the current events, one of the things that's just real recent that's happened, and you can expect Remnant to, in the coming days and weeks, to hear the O'Biden administration just singing its praises and how wonderful and glorious it is. And we'll see. They just print more money to pay for it, I don't think we're going to have, I don't think we've got as long as they think we do to even spend this money. I really don't.
I had a list of some of the crazy things that were in that infrastructure bill, you know, $10 billion to create a civilian climate corp. The Biden administration proposed spending $10 billion to create a civilian climate corporation. The White House claims that this $10 billion investment would put a new diverse generation of Americans to work conserving our public lands and waters. $20 million to advance racial equality and environmental justice. $175 billion to subsidize in subsidies for electric vehicles. $213 billion to retrofit 2 million houses and buildings. $100 billion for new public schools. And making school lunches greener. $12 billion for colleges, billions to eliminate racial and gender inequalities in STEM, which I don't even know it, in some research and development program. The list goes on and on and on and on. And, I mean, basically what it boils down to is just they want to piss a bunch of money away and put a lot of people in debt. It's warfare.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we will see.
You know, people have a tendency to think that money fixes everything. Lack of money fixes more than too much. I'll tell you that because you'd be.
You're not wrong.
No, you get when you're broke and you want to live, I mean, you get start thinking really good for yourself, you know, and what really counts. And they're shutting the fertilizer and the chemicals off to these farmers and stuff like that. And it's absolutely chaos is what's going on. You know, food as we know it, you know, if you eat an apple, you don't really know what you're getting. It looks nice, but that's all about it because the nutrient density, I'm sure, is not there. Even in organic apples, you know, just something lacking. But, they want you to think this money's going to fix stuff. And so many people think that it will, but it won't.
That's right. Well, it takes people's minds off the real problem.
America's had its mind off of God for an awful long time. All the things that have gone down, you know, you go back way back to 13 when you got the Federal Reserve and the income tax. Now, the church been alive and well, the Bible says not to withhold a man's wages overnight. Now, that gets rid of that right then and there, but it's just been going downhill ever since to the point God is not acknowledged anywhere in anything. You know, I mean, you got to look for it for yourself. And there are—I don't know how many of us are out there, but there are more than we know.
Amen.
Because there's huge riots in the streets of New York and different things. I mean, but this is what we need to wake us up. That's all there is to it.
Amen. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let me get the button pushed over there. And good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, morning, brothers.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. How are you today?
Good. Beautiful morning here. You know, sun's up here. I don't know if it is out there where you guys are at. it's shaping up to be a nice day out today. It's got to be in the 60s.
Well, good. Patrick, you sent me a picture that I forwarded on. I'd been following the story, and I didn't know if you had any more comments on it or not this morning, but and I'll forward it to you, folks, if I got your cell number, if you'd like it. But you've probably seen it. But the mother of that Loudoun County bathroom rapist, you know, that was it came up, what was it, about 2 months ago, that the school board knew that this boy that was dressing up as a girl, putting a skirt on and claiming to be transgender so he could go into the girls' bathroom and molest the girls, and the school board knew about it, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, so they'd already moved him at least once from one school to another to cover it up, and he rapes a girl. The father of the girl goes to the school board meeting to try to figure it out. He ends up getting arrested by the police because he's asking the school board about it, and they're lying about it, basically. And so he's been interviewed, and I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. So the mother of the boy dressing as the girl that raped the girl in the bathroom, the mother says about the victim, she says, you're 15, you can reasonably defend yourself. And so she's blaming the victim. But when you look at her, this bob-haired, tattooed, Black Lives Matter shirt-wearing shirt, rainbow flag, you know, she's a piece of filth anyway. Anyway, are you seeing much of that there in Minnesota, Patrick?
Well, you know, Minnesota, you know, around, you know, is, Minnesota overall is a conservative state. We are just ruled by, socialists, communists, you know, liberals. You know, the bulk of the population is in the metro area. You know, there's about 5 million people live in the state of Minnesota. 4 million live in the metro area, you know, which is, you know, like an 8-county area around Minneapolis, St. Paul. You know, we got a lot of weirdos in that area.
Yeah.
Controls the rest of the state.
Right.
And stuff like that does happen. I do believe recently something similar to that happened in one of the northern suburbs. The things are just getting crazier and crazier. I mean, it's definitely we are living in a last days.
Sure. Are you seeing it? I know we see it out here in Colorado and heck, even in Wyoming, that the cities are, you might call them blue. They're heavy Democrat, heavy liberal, you know, but you get outside the cities and it's pretty conservative. I know Colorado's that way. You know, you get in the big city areas, the Boulder and Denver, and of course it's expanding into the other cities, and it's pretty hard left. But you get out, you know, you get out away from the cities, and it gets pretty conservative. You see that in your area too, Patrick?
Oh yes, most definitely. Once you get out. I mean, even where I live, you know, conservative were in the area that I live, and you start going south. You get on the west side, you know, because the Mississippi River kind of runs diagonally through Minnesota for a bit. You know, you get on the other side of the river back down in the farm country. I mean, there's people still flying Trump flags, you know, not, you know, put too much emphasis on Trump, but it's really conservative. I mean, and it you know, in the farm country, it seems like, you know, when you get away from all this hustle and bustle of the cities, and when you get, you know, because I grew up in a very, very rural part of the country, and, you know, you're not distracted by of everything that goes on in the big city. You know, you can kind of relax and sit back and, you know, and think logically. You know, when it's in the cities here, man, it's just crazy. And I know Denver, I know Colorado is basically, yes, a conservative state. And I remember when we were kids growing up and we'd go to Denver and stuff, you know, and it was conservative, and now it has changed. And you know, I think what it is, a lot of it is the freeloaders are moving towards the cities because that's where the money is at. You know, so you don't get the welfare in the country like you do in the city. Well, and it's a numbers thing too, you know.
Yeah. that's showing here on this infrastructure bill as well that, like you mentioned, Jason, about all that money going to electric cars. And it's basically the electric vehicle owners, they're looking at $15 billion in the form of infrastructure, zero emission, low emission plug-in charging vehicles. And that's in the cities. That's in the we call them, or they call them, blue cities. These, you know, you're not going to see that in South Dakota probably too much, and you probably won't see it much in, you know, in the rural areas. But that's, yeah, like you said, Patrick, that's where the money is, and the welfare money, and that's where the those type people congregate. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I listened to a podcast about a year ago, and it was talking about, I don't recall who it was, but they were talking about Black Americans and how, you know, they had at one time mainly lived in the rural areas of the country, and then they were, you know, they moved them into cities like Chicago and Detroit, and, you know, working in the car factories and meat packing plants and this and that. And then once they got them into the urban areas, you know, of course, we all know that a lot of our manufacturing has moved overseas. Well, now they lost their job. And then they had no choice but to go on the government rolls, and the Democrats had seized that and turned them into a large voting bloc, and they keep them there. They don't want them to advance. You know, they don't want them to start their own businesses, this and that. They want to keep them dependent on the government. And so on. And so we can see that where the, you know, they basically have destroyed the Black family. You know, we talked about prior to the Civil Rights Act that, you know, they 70% of the Black families had a mom and dad. Well, now that's changed, and how they, you know, they've destroyed the Black family, and so they have a perpetual voting bloc, just like they want to give D.C. statehood in Puerto Rico. Well, these people are, I mean, a lot of them are destitute. You know, they don't have any money. So their government is their only answer to, you know, whatever financial freedom they have. And, you know, and they're told that day, you're never going to make it. So that's, I think, what a lot of it is the big cities that, you know, attract all the freeloaders.
It really is.
And they're able to influence them politically, and they continually to vote for all these welfare programs and this and that.
And that's what we're seeing.
You know, like I said,
I think that's
you know, like I said, you know, you get out into the rural part, you live in the rural part of the country, you have a different train of thought, you see things different.
Sure.
And
so. Amen to that. Well, Patrick, appreciate the call. Appreciate you taking time to call in and share your comments and tuning in, and I appreciate you sure. Sending me the notes on the phone. I did. I got those forwarded on out, and it's greatly appreciated, brother.
You bet. Well, you guys have a good day, and we'll get you all in church tomorrow.
All right, Patrick. God bless. Thanks. Well, we're seeing that all over. From doesn't matter what big city it is, it seems like it has all but gone. You know, Paul, you were talking about these people waking up, and I like how you put it, that it's more the lack of the money that fixes things more than more money does. And the town of Oroville, California, has voted 6-1. That's a town of about 20,000 people. And I think they're only about an hour outside of Sacramento. But they voted 6-1 to become a constitutional republic, to break away from the city or from the state of California. And this is over the COVID restrictions that the state of California has put in place. And as I was reading this article, I thought, well, you know, wow, 20,000 people, that their elected officials have voted to do this. So they must have support of the community, and they do. But the one person that voted against it said, you know, he brought up the millions of dollars that this town of 20,000 people have already received in COVID funding. And you know, he knew, he said, hey, we do this, we're going to cut that money flow off. And that's why he voted against it. And so, but I thought about that. So here's a little town, 20,000 people, that has received millions of dollars, federal dollars. And these aren't tax dollars being returned to the state or the city. They're just, you know, money that's been printed up new for this COVID. But millions of dollars to a little town of 20,000. Jason, you and I were talking about this a little yesterday, how this is, it's been another step that the federal government has done to bring cities and counties and a lot of rural areas, our little rural areas that way as well, with the dangling carrot of these COVID funds. You get a patient in the hospital, the local community hospital gets a COVID patient, another $30,000, something like that, in federal funds that's available. And so the hospitals are making more money on COVID patients. Then the county EMA, Emergency Management Group, you know, when the county gets to report how many COVID patients they have, they get funding. Our little volunteer fire department has been instructed to apply for COVID funding. You know, for things like gloves and masks and PPE and that type thing. And so it just grows and grows. The police departments, the sheriff's departments, and so it is millions of dollars that has gone into certainly the big cities, but rural America as well. That makes it real hard for these people to say no to it. Just like you had said, Paul, or Jason, one about the, you know, hey, money's going to fix it. We just need more money. We just need more money. And that's being thrown out, but I really don't see the things getting fixed.
It's just putting it off.
Yeah, putting it off. I like that. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Hey, guys. Good morning. It's Anders out in Nebraska.
Good morning, Anders.
So I had a couple comments relate. One of them was sort of dovetailing on one of the previous callers, and that having to do with and also the infrastructure bill thing. And one of the things that a lot of people might at least in my circles aren't aware of, or at least are completely oblivious to, is way back in the 60s when they were 50s and 60s when they were making the federal highways, they would try to put it in like the lowest the least um the least expensive property they could find, which usually happened to be in the cities. It was usually in black neighborhoods. So they ended up tearing out a whole bunch of real vibrant black communities in a lot of the major cities in America. And now here they are 50 years later, and they knew what, I'm sure they knew what they were doing at the time. And so it's just a way to add on to how bad the white man is for doing that to the poor black person. It just fascinated me that they're trying to give recompense to the black community when it was them who tore up their neighborhoods in their first place 50, 60 years ago.
Maybe that's that racism they're talking about in the highway system. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's probably. Oh yeah. And I had another. I had a quick comment about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. He's being put on trial now. I don't know how close you guys are following that, but something interesting that I picked up on while listening to it is the names of the three perpetrators that Rittenhouse either killed or severely wounded. He killed two and wounded one. And one of the ones that so two out of the three names sound like Jew names. There's Jacob Rosenbaum and Gage Grosskreutz or some European name that's usually associated with the Jews. And I thought that was kind of interesting. That Rosenbaum fella, he was being treated for bipolar depression. He'd just gotten let out of the hospital. He's known to be a pedophile, but I just found that interesting. The names of some of these perpetrators in this trial against Kyle Rittenhouse, but I don't know. I didn't know if you guys had any commentary on that, but I'll let you go then.
All right, Anders. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments.
God bless.
Jason, you had something there?
No, what I was going to say is, even Whoopi Goldberg this last week, she came out and she was on several interviews and said that white people need to step up so race issues no longer matter in America.
Yeah, good old Whoopi.
Well, one of the old thing in war is divide and conquer, and that whole race issue is to divide people. And when you get them fighting amongst themselves, then they conquer, and that's just what's going on there. This isn't about race, you know, it's involved in it, but not the way that it's portrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul, I like how you said that. Not how it's portrayed. Not at all. Not at all.
One interesting thing was this last Monday I was able to go to a protest, and they had a, basically Larimer County, the county that I live in, they put in a mask mandate that was organized and set up by the director of the Larimer County Health Organization. And he puts on this, and then he also introduces a bill to have passports, vaccine passports for for businesses in the county and basically wants to get all the businesses to require a certain percentage, if not all of their employees, to be vaccinated, and then would require you to show a vaccine card before you entered the business. So anyway, he was getting a lot of heat over it, and people started showing up. They protested, and they organized a protest. They were supposed to have between 100 and 150 people that were going to show up, and that's what they were shooting for. And me and a couple people that I know, you know, we decided, it's like, you know, are you going? Yeah, well, we probably should. You know, didn't really have time to do it or anything like that, but we figured, yeah, we better go up, show up and show some support. And by the time it was said and done, there was over 3,000 people, between conservatively 3,000 people that showed up. They shut it. They basically shut a lot of the streets down. It was pretty impressive. You know, a lot of good people that wanted to voice their opinion on a lot of different things. I've talked to people that drove all the way down from south of Denver, you know, over 100 miles to be there. People from up in the mountains of Colorado, people that weren't even in our county just showed up just to fight against it. So that was really good. The other thing that was interesting about the whole deal was that the local Coloradoan newspaper, which is you know it's sometimes just a joke, but they came out and reported, about 500 people showed up to protest the vaccine mandate and this and that. And I mean, it was just more proof and more proof that they are just lying, and, you know, false news, fake news, you know, leave it up to the media. But what came out of the deal is that one of the things that started it was a string of emails that went between Tom Gonzalez, who's the head of the Larimer County Health Department, to the county commissioners, and basically wanted support. Somebody had put up a sign that was anti-fascism over there in close to the health department, and you know, they felt threatened and felt that it was you know, against the health department, so they wanted to put pressure upon the people that own the property and the sign and tried to get it removed. Well, the county commissioners, they kind of jumped on bandwagon with Tom Gonzalez and started sending emails and wanting people to put pressure on people, officials, Northern Colorado Business Association, things like that, trying to find out, you know, how can we make this sign an illegal sign? How can we get this removed? How can we fine them? You know, what do we have to do? And basically is what it boiled down to is, you know, constitutional First Amendment rights. They got a lot of heat over it because it's like, you know, number one, when they take the position of office, they take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution. And so is what has come out on this, which we know that they do this. We know it happens all behind closed doors all the time. But to be publicly open and to put it right out in the middle of everybody in strings of emails that got sent to everybody from the governor's office to our sheriff's office, and our sheriff, who's retiring, unfortunately, is one of the guys that actually stepped up to the plate, and he said, you guys better talk to the county attorney before you keep going with this. Because if you guys keep going with this, number one, he's like, I'm very well versed in the Constitution, and this is a First Amendment right that somebody has, the freedom of speech. So you, it would be wise if you talk to your the county attorney before you proceed on sending this stuff out. And anyway, it just it turned in from one thing to another, but it was pretty neat because there was a lot of corruption that was being exposed through the midst of it, and there's a lot of people that are mad about it and wanting to fight back. So that's encouraging, and you see people doing that on all different fronts, and people that are waking up all across the country, you know. And it's hardships, and it's pressure and warfare that's got them to the point where they need to wake up. So, you know, so sometimes the good comes out of the bad.
Amen to that. Amen to that. It is encouraging to see in so many different places, so many different ways, more people waking up. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, I was calling in. I wanted to put in a prayer request for all the children around the world, visiting the U.S. now that they passed that where, you know, the 5 years on and up can, you know, get the jab. We listen to a lot of, you know, Christian radio, and they had a doctor on the other day that, well, you guys know about the metal that's in, you know, where you could put a magnet on somebody that sticks on them. Well, this doctor claims that this visor shot and the other two all have some kind of living creature in it that when you look at it under a microscope, it actually grows peels, you know, like an insect, and it comes together. And she said that one of these things actually jumped up off of the slide. And you know about the Green Bay Packers, probably heard about this. Aaron Rodgers didn't get the jab because he didn't want to get sterile. And I got to pray for my granddaughter because she got jabbed. If there is some living alien thing in it that's changing our DNA and stuff, that the Lord keep her safe. I don't know if you guys heard about that, you know, with the vaccines and out. And here in Wisconsin, Walmart starts dishing out cards for people that have been stabbed. You know, Wisconsin pretty wicked. They're the ones that started the freedom from religion.
Yeah, I know we've seen and talked about a few of those things. I did think that was pretty interesting with Aaron Rodgers. You know, that he didn't want to get vaccinated and wasn't. And so here's an MVP, big Super Bowl superstar. And, you know, it's not like just some little lowlife in the NFL that they can quiet and or shame. And so, yeah, that's really bringing some controversy up. And you're right, Warren. I think we've said it before, but we do need to keep our children, keep our military in your prayers, and family and friends that, as the Bible says, that do not know what they're doing. And you know, when the crowds crucified Christ, that's what he asked for them to be forgiven, because he said, for those that don't know what they're doing, Lord. And there's so many of our people that just don't know, you know, they really don't realize what they're doing. And we do need to pray for them, that's for sure.
We also have to pray for those that were arrested on January 6th. You know, I heard on that, one of these Christian radios too, that they're being treated worse than animals. They're not even being treated like prisoners of war, you know. They started the Geneva Convention, I think, World War One or World War Two. They beat these people up. They sing the national anthem with. They pray. They put them in solitary. They have no running water, no food. They only allowed 500 calories a day at the most to live on. So we have to pray for those too.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, thank you, Warren. God bless, brother. You have a great, great weekend. Plenty to pray about, that's for sure. That is for sure. Saw this headline about 160 full cargo ships just off the L.A. coast, just waiting to get into the L.A. ports. Not including all the others up and down California and in the Gulf Coast. And I know Florida Governor DeSantis came out a week or two ago and said, hey, our ports are open. Come on around. It's just a short jaunt through the Panama Canal, and come on around and we'll unload you. I saw used to live in Savannah, Georgia, saw a thing there. Savannah is the country's largest, our country's largest export port, if that makes sense. And they are working around the clock and have been. The pictures of the lines of trucks and the lights on at night at the port where they're unloading and loading the empties and loading back up. But that Savannah is one of our it is the largest export port, and they're still booming, not just with empties going out, but it's I think that ties in with your comment, Paul, about that the lack of things is going to fix more than an abundance of things. I mentioned it before about prayer. I think it was like that in World War II when, you know, most of the people here in this country were having to sacrifice not only their fathers and sons that were overseas fighting, but, you know, there was not, they were conserving and recycling and reusing and reducing, you know, and growing their own food, and you just couldn't go down to the store and buy like you can today, and that created a stronger people. Those hardships, and we just don't see that today.
You get used to it. It's coming. No, it's here, and I think a lot of people sense that it's here too. That things are changing. You know, just like Jason said, not that many people turn out for that, and it's happening all over the country. You know, New York City had just a huge demonstration for that, supporting the cops and stuff that didn't want to be vaccinated. And hey, you know, I was talking to a farmer the other day, and it's mostly about regenerative agriculture. He's into cover crops big time, and he's just really happy with it and everything. And he's had a seed salesman talk by him, and he throws some of that stuff out, and the guy was just totally ignorant to it. And when a little later on, he says, you know, I'm starting to get angry. I said, Tom, that's a really good sign. I said, when the section begins to hate.
Amen, it is.
Yes. Yes, amen to that. Amen to that.
But you know, when like him and that, yeah, I talk to him weekly and stuff. I jumped in the truck, and the other day we drove and went to all these fields, and we did it a month ago, and there was no worms. We went there, and every shovel he got about 5-6 worms, you know, and it was not cake yet, but it was on its way, and he was just all excited about it. But then he don't really have anybody else to talk to about it, because they're all, you know, and you talk about these conservatives out in the country, that's a bunch of bullshit. They're so into the university and government way of farming that it just makes you sick once you see it.
Yeah, it
conservative.
Even that has gone the way of the world, huh? The farming and the and that, it really has.
And it's all about money, bushels per acre, and what they get paid, and they could care less about the morality of it.
Right.
You know, farming should be a moral issue.
Well, and for a while, it was about quality over quantity.
It's been a long time since that's been the deal.
Right. And like you mentioned, it's all, you know, being that it's university, it's like that here. You know, the university here is big in the agricultural part, the sheep and the beef and the pork, and more livestock here than crops as far as right in this area. But they're huge on that, and it is. It's how big an animal can you get. You know, they push and promote just the biggest, fattest neighbor up the road, the last show steer that they were raising with their children. They were feeding that thing over 50 pounds of basically corn, but feed, a day. And it had implants in it and all that, and it was just to get it to the weight and to make it the biggest and the shiniest, and you know, the growth hormones that were in it. And I remember asking him about that one day, and I said, well, aren't you concerned that, you know, that whoever eats that will have that as well? Oh, no. You know, university said that'll all be gone by the time it gets to consumers. And they just believe it. And that's the way of the world. you know, versus the quality, whether it's crops or animals. And, you know, Remnant, we've said it before, wherever you're at in this country, if you want clean raw milk, you've got it. You can find it within an hour or two's drive, wherever you are. If you're in downtown Chicago, within an hour or two, you can find somebody that's out in the country that's got raw milk. Now, it might not be advertised on Facebook or in the newspaper, but it's that way with beef. It's that way with chicken, with eggs. If you want quality food, you can find it. But it's not as simple as just, you know, calling Walmart and picking up the order. There's a little more to it than that. But there should be a little more to it than that. And there is. And there is. But that's a choice that we all have everywhere in this country.
It definitely takes effort, you know. You gotta go look for it and do it yourself. You know, you can't. You know, even the big companies are wanting organic. They're coming to these people and they're going to the growers. You got to grow some organic for us, you know, because the people are asking for it, in big time and big ways. I don't know exactly know what they're asking for, but things are changing. I mean, the big corporations, General Mills, all of them are seeing writing on the wall. Well, they're asking for it. So it's in transition. And what you got Babylon trying to survive. So, you know, they're desperate, they're mean, and they hate everything. So, and they could care less if you live or die.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we are almost out of time. Just a couple of minutes. If anybody's got any closing comments.
Well, you know, it's an exciting time, really, to what's going on. It's changing. It's good changing. We needed it. You know, we're in the woodshed right at the moment, and we needed it as a nation. And it's coming. Goes back to Samuel. They don't want the responsibility. They want the king to handle it, and that's what we're doing. And when the king handles it, this is what happens. He's given a job to do, and he has to do it, too. So, I mean, it's a two-edged sword. We've asked too much of government. They have nothing to offer. They didn't take from someone else. And it's all a spiritual battle, really. So, and who makes the rules is what the question is. Does the government or does God? And there's enough people who are all written in their heart and are coming out. And like the thing that Jason went to, there's laws written in their heart. And this ain't right. You know, and they realize it's their life and their children and their whole future that's at stake. So, and people are starting to realize that, I hope.
Yeah, hope so. Hope so. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the comments. Callers, we appreciate that. We appreciate you, Remnant, for your support, your tithes and offerings that keep us on the air, that keep us getting programs like this and broadcasting the true gospel of Jesus Christ and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all over the country, all over the world, on shortwave and internet. And there are members of the Remnant that are hearing and that truth is resonating with and are calling in and writing and, getting introductory packs and introductory messages, and that's encouraging. It is. And we want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, and you can do that at scriptures4america.org. I think Brother Anders up in Nebraska is going to drive down and visit us. He said he wanted to do that. And that's about a four-hour drive for him, but he likes to do that every so often when the weather's good. But you don't have to drive. You can join us at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. A review of the news, a little scriptural insight, a timeless pulpit message, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion with like-minded believers. And so we hope you'll join us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
there's a sign there on your back. Says, I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out. For the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness. I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going.
Are clever.